Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening. Well, praise God. It's Thursday, and we just thank and praise the Lord for this day. I thank and praise the Lord for you that have tuned in by the way of radio and by the way of air, however, whether by computer, through your phone. We thank and praise the Lord for you. We thank and praise the Lord for Apostle Armstrong, who is the sponsor of this beautiful broadcast. And I thank and praise the Lord for you that have been faithful in tuning in. And I know the word been a blessing to you because it been blessing me. So we just thank and praise the Lord for everything that God is doing. And listen, the Bible said it does. We walk by faith. We live by faith. And we walk by faith and not by sight. Listen, learn to speak positive things over you. Decree good things. I like something that Cindy Jacobs and Apostle Jennifer LeClaire, they talk about command your morning. And you know, what did you declare about your day today? You know, a lot of people don't realize that we can change our situation. We can change our circumstances with our words. We have the same credibility and authority in our word as born-again believer as God walked in. And that's where Jesus walked in. Jesus had many things to say when it came down to sickness and anything that was hindering him. He always was saying, and the Bible tells us, even in the Old Testament, and God said, I wonder what you're saying today about your life. Prophesy some good. And I decree and declare, as a blood-bought, washed believer, that God is working that thing out for you right now. That thing that seemed contrary, that thing that done torment you, harass you, I decree by the authority in Jesus' name, God is working it out for you. And I plead the blood of Jesus against those torment, harassing thoughts, those thoughts of fear. Yes, I plead the blood of Jesus against it. You is the seed of Abraham. I remember in one scripture Jesus said, told him, and he was healing this woman on Sabbath day, and he would tell them, he said, ought not this woman be loose who stayed in the bind these 18 years? And you know what he did? He loosed her. And do you not know you is the seed of Abraham? We have the blessing of Abraham upon us, and you can decree and command. Yes, you can. Hallelujah. Well, we thank and praise the Lord for that. And as I stated, we're going to be in Galatians, the third chapter, but I'm still addressing Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Yes, we still talking about the heroes of faith. We still talking about the heroes of faith. And as we stated on Monday, from the eighth to that 11th verse, it's talking about Abraham. It's talking about brother Abraham. Well, really, go further than that. It go all the way down, really, to the 17th verse. But we've just been talking about Abraham because Abraham calls us to go in the covenant. Abraham calls us to go back and look at the covenant that God made with him. Yes, Abraham, God cut covenant with Abraham. So we kind of talked a little bit about that, about the covenant, what the covenant is, and how the covenant benefits you and I. I've been studying and reading up on the blood of Jesus, and then I get into the covenant because we are covenant people. God did not do away with the covenant because we came in the New Testament. If you go read Hebrews, I think it's Hebrews 6, 7, and 8, even in 10, it talk about a better covenant. We have a better covenant with better promise, you know. And, you know, when I think about, you know, a covenant, you know, I think sometimes we lose sight on it because people just don't keep their word like they used to. I remember as a child, I overhear my dad and mom them talk sometimes, and they would shake on things. People didn't draw up one so quick every time you came in agreement, they drawed up a contract, you know. But they would take your word. Your word was your bond. But, you know, we live in a time now, a lot of people ain't got away from that. You know, what some people care about breaking their word or not keeping their word, you know, it's nothing. But we as born-again believers, we serve and we in covenant with a God of integrity. The Bible tells us in Numbers, hath not God spoken, that God won't bring it to pass. If God said it, he'll do it. God said to Jeremiah in that first chapter, he said, Jeremiah, I watch over my word to perform it. That's another reason why it's so important that we need to live by the word. But you can't live by something you don't know. And it's so important to get in the word and find out what God say. But we've been talking about the heroes of faith, and that's in Hebrews 11 chapter, where, you know, we started out in Hebrews the 4th chapter talking about how that same gospel that was preached to them been preached to us, but it didn't profit the children of Israel because they didn't mix it with faith. And I tell you, you cannot experience the fulfillment or the manifestation of the promise of God without faith. You have to get what you see in the natural out the way and how you feel. Faith don't have anything to do with what I see and what I feel in the natural. But faith is having confidence in what God's word say. It even say that in Hebrews 11, chapter, at that beginning verse. It said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. My evidence is not in what I see. My evidence is in what I don't see, but I see through the eyes of faith. The eyes of faith, when I look at God through his word, through faith, is that it's already mine. Come on, somebody. And I tell you, this is so good. But we're living in the greatest time ever, believe it or not. Some might say, now, Prophet Miller, how in the world you can say that with everything going on in the White House? I can say that because when you see things going contrary to what God say, as a born-again believer, you can stand and decree what God say and command that thing to change because of what God say. And we have so many, see, if you keep looking at things from the natural, it will really make you feel bad. But if you look at things through the spirit realm, look at things based upon in covenant with God and what God word say, who God is and what God would do, I promise you it can lift your spirit. Now, sometimes you have to battle with your soul, you know, because the enemy always targets your mind, will, and your emotion, which is your soul. But I'm telling you, we have so many opportunities to believe God now for the impossible, because we see a lot of things on the scene now. It appears to be impossible. But do you not know you in covenant with an impossible creator? We in covenant with the Trinity. Yes, Jesus sealed this better covenant with his blood, and that's what makes it so good. We don't have to walk around with a guilty conscience. We don't have to walk around feeling bad about our past, because the Bible tells us in John the first chapter, we can confess our sin. And when we confess it, listen, when we confess it, the Bible tells us that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from it. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from it. And I'm telling you, we can do that as born-again believers. But listen, if you haven't been born again, you cannot operate in this authority. You cannot receive the blessings of Abraham. That's for born-again believers. Born-again, it's just not only cover you going to heaven. It cover more than this. It cover what's happening on this earth now, how to deal and fighting the spirit as well as the natural. So we going to take up, like I said, we've been talking about Abraham. I'm going back to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Father, I thank you now for accuracy in your word. I thank you for enlightenment. I thank you that the blood of Jesus covered this broadcast. The blood of Jesus is against the prince of power that want to bring interference or detraction. As we go in your word, I thank you, Father, for bringing enlightenment, more understanding, and mostly revelation. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who is within us and who is in charge over the atmosphere right now. We praise you and we bless you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes, we come against religion and tradition. Amen. Okay, in Hebrews 11 and 8 chapter, it say, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith he sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in a tabernacle with Isaac and Jacob, the heir with him of the same promise. But he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builders and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithfully who promised. There too again, she judged him faithful who promised. It's so much a good nuggets in this Hebrews 11 chapter. You have to read it by faith. You have to pray, God, open up my eyes. God, give me understanding of what you're saying. You know, and I tell you, it's so much good stuff in this 11th chapter. He said, she judged him faithfully who promised. She knows something about God. If God said it, God's going to do it. Yeah, in the beginning, they might have wrestled with it a little bit. But she judged him faithful. All of us ought to come to the point of develop, grow to the point in our knowledge and understanding about God to know that God is faithful. You know, God is faithful. He is faithful. He is a God of integrity. He said, therefore sprang there even of one in him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky and multitude, and as the sun which is by the seashore innumerable. 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off. And Abraham was one when God told him that his seed should go out and look in the sky and see if he can count the stars. And he said that his seed would be like that. He won't be able to count. But do you not know Abraham did not live to see you and I get saved? He did. Abraham did not. But he count God faithful who promised. God promised Abraham that. When God told him he was going to give him a son, I think that's in Genesis the 15th chapter. But God promised that to Abraham. And I tell you that, yeah, the enemy trying to give you, he trying to give you, it's the old folks, you said, run for your faith. But let me tell you something. God is the same. The Bible said we can boldly say the Lord is our helper. Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. He have not changed. God is still keeping his promise. The Bible tells us in Psalms that God will not alter the thing. He will not break his covenant. No, he altered the things that go out of his mouth. God been faithful to 1,000 generations. God is so faithful. And believe it or not, your balance and my balance, every trial, temptation, is the enemy trying to get us to discredit God, trying to get us to doubt that he is faithful who promised. God is faithful who promised. Whatever God told you and I he would do, God would do just that and no more, my brother and my sister. But like I said, we go. Now, I read that from the, you know, somebody said, you just read a lot. But listen, you need to put your eyes on it. The Bible said faith come by hearing, hearing the word of God. You ought to hear yourself reading this, and it will really bless you. I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to go to Galatians, but I want you to keep this in mind, that 11th verse in Hebrews 11th chapter. It says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered a child when she was past age. Everybody knows she was in her 90s. She was 90 because she judged him. Listen, because she judged him faithful who have promised. Listen, this is a word for somebody. Whatever you're going through right now is contrary to what God has promised or said to you in his word. Do you judge God faithful in what he promised you in spite of what going contrary to what you're dealing with now? Can you declare, God, in spite of what I see, you're going to do just what you said to me, what was written? But you got to know what's written now. You got to be a believer. You got to have faith and confidence and trust what God says. Do you judge him faithful? God, you said it, and I believe it, and that settles it. Okay, we're gonna go to Galatians, and I'm gonna be reading from my Living Bible, my life. Y'all know Prophet Miller likes a Life Application Bible. Yes, I do. The New Living Translation. I'm gonna be reading. I'm gonna start at that first verse, and I'm gonna read down to that. I feel like stopping. How about that? Somebody said, come on, Prophet Miller, you're going to read all it. Listen, I'm telling you, faith come by hearing the word of God. You need to know what God say about your life. You need to. If you don't know what he said, how can you have confidence in God of what you believe in God for if you don't know what God done said? You know, for why God dealt with me about our will, and I'm still meditating on it. You know, ain't it strange how you know people that go to church every Sunday and go to Bible study, weekly service, and their life is still not being transformed? Let me tell you what's going on. They doing Hebrew 4 and 2. They hearing the word, but they not mixing it with faith. They not applying the word. They not meditating on the word. And guess what? God is not going to make you do it. See that? Something right there. Some of us, we don't realize. God is not going to make you read your Bible. God is not going to make you say what the word said. God is not going to make you do it. He was set. The Bible said he set before us life and death, blessing and cursing. Now you choose that you and your seed may live. Christianity is a life of faith. It's all about faith. It ain't about what you feel. I know maybe before you got born again, just like a lot more people, you know, if I can't see it, I don't believe it. Well, in the kingdom, you won't never experience and see the fulfillments of God promised. Faith is having confidence in what God say about you and I, okay? In Galatians, this third chapter, I tell you what we'll do. It talk about the law and faith in Christ. And some of the Galatians, they have received Jesus, their Lord and Savior, but they let some people get back in and got them believing that they can only be saved by keeping the Mosaic law. And Paul was trying to get them to say, now you didn't start out like this. What happened? And that's the thing about faith. You have to start in faith and end in faith. Hear me good. Start in faith, end in faith. You have to begin with faith and end with faith. That's the way it worked, because remember we read in Hebrews, in Hebrews 11, I think it's the 6th verse, when it said it's impossible to please God without faith. And that's why it's so important. You need to find out, what is faith? How do I supposed to live by faith? How do I apply faith? Because therefore please God. Amen. He said he that come to him must believe that he is, and he reward those that diligently seeketh him. Okay, for time's sake, I'm going to drop down. We're going to drop down. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to start at that third verse. It says, have you lost your senses after starting your Christian lives in the spirit? Why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort? That's what messes up a lot of people. You can't do what God requires you to do in your own effort. You have to believe and trust that God will give you and enable you with the ability to do it. You can't do it in your own strength. You know, some people say, I don't be asking God to forgive me all the time. Well, I do. If that don't work for you, that don't work for you. But, I, you know, if I know I done missed it, constantly ask the Lord, forgive me and help me in that area. I don't go around feeling condemned and condemning myself and telling me I'm good for nothing. I can't live right. I can't this and I can't that. No, you don't do that. And what the enemy wants you to do, but you don't do that. After starting your Christian life in the Spirit, why are you not trying to become perfect by your own human effort? You have suffered so much for the good news. Surely it was not in vain, was it? Are you not going to just throw it all away? I ask you again, does God give you the Holy Spirit and work miracles among you because you obey the law of Moses? Of course not. It is because you believe the message you hear about Christ. Listen, in the same way Abraham believed God, so God declared him righteous because of his faith. Listen what it said. Abraham believed God. And that word believe, it's not only this believe that God exists, but he obeyed and he obeyed God's instruction. He trusts God's word. And guess what? God expects for us to operate in that same faith. He wants us to believe him. He wants us to trust him. He wants us to obey him. Remember, we said about a week ago when you read in the heroes of faith, you'll see each one of them, God gave them specific instructions, and they had to follow them instructions. Now, how is you going to obey somebody that you don't trust or somebody you don't believe in? And that's the wonderful thing about the way God have everything established. We can have a relationship. When Adam sinned in the garden, you know what he lost? He did not lose religion. He lost a relationship with God. He communed with God in the spirit. His spirit was cut off. And if you are a sinner, it's not being able to communicate with God in the spirit. Yeah, you might hear things about God, but you unable to connect with him in the spirit. Your spirit is cut off. Sin has separated you from God. And that's why you have to receive Jesus, your Lord and Savior. In that sixth verse, let's keep that in mind, okay? In the same way Abraham believed God, so God declared him righteous because of his faith. It didn't say he called him righteous because his own effort hit with his faith in believing in God. And that's the same way it is with you and I. The real children of Abraham then are all of those who put their faith in God. Well, what is that put? You put your faith, your confidence, your trust, your relying on what God's word says. Remember in Proverbs, it tells us in that fourth chapter, he said, my son, attend to my words. Y'all, we have to really pay attention to what God's word is saying. As I stated, a lot of people go to service after service, conference after conference, and you don't see their life being transformed. It's because they do not put no faith and confidence and act upon what they hear. Come on, somebody. You can't blame the pastor for that. You can't blame the devil for it. The devil is a defeated foe. The devil is under your feet. I don't care what you see, thing going contrary and people allowing themselves to be influenced by the devil. Listen, the devil is under your feet. He is a defeated foe. And the way you do when you see, I bind Satan, go and buy your business. Yeah, you have to learn how to do spiritual warfare. Remember one of Paul's last words. He said, I finished my course. I kept the faith. I fought a good fight of faith. Faith is a fight. Why? Because faith have enemies. And one of the biggest enemies faith have is unbelief. And wherever you see unbelief, you better know doubt is hanging around. It ain't too far away. I mean, he will fight you. Everything Jesus done paid for you and I in the spirit as well as the natural. Don't you know the enemy going to fight you? He going to go to extreme measure to get you to doubt. He wants you to focus on the situation instead of focusing on the solution. Come on, somebody. It said the real children of Abraham then are all those who put their faith in God. What more, the scripture look forward to this time right now, God will accept the Gentile. Yah, we are Gentile by nature. We were born as a Gentile. But don't you know, Jesus, through giving up his life and his blood, he removed a hostile between all race of people. That's why when you see people walking around here with bitterness and hatredness, they don't have no idea that when Jesus died, do you not know before Jesus died, the Jews and the Gentiles didn't get along? The Jews considered the Gentile as dogs. We were little or nothing to them. But when Jesus died, Jesus paid the price. He removed that from our heart, from all man's heart. That's why you can love all race of people. You can communicate with all race of people. If you've been born again, even if your ancestor hated certain race of people, certain color people's skin, once you get born again, Jesus can remove all of that hatred, all of that bitterness and resentment out of your heart if you allow him. Because the Bible said the love of God been shielded born in our heart by the Holy Spirit. And he help us. God is God. We have God nature. We don't have a sin nature no more. That sin nature was hostile toward probably different race of people. It was hostile to people that didn't do it the way you do it, look like you, or think like you. It was always causing you to be critical of other people. Come on, somebody. But once you get born again, that's the good thing about this better covenant. The Spirit of God come in us. God removed that sin nature. Jeremiah prophesied about that God was going to give us a new heart. Ezekiel prophesied about it. Where that day have come. When you get born again, I hear a lot of people, honey, when you get saved, you can't do this. No. You don't understand. When you get saved, when you truly get born again, you don't have you don't want to do because you don't have that sin nature anymore. You don't want to do what you used to do. You know, I don't want to do what I used to do. I don't want to. I don't have a desire to. I have a desire to do right. I remember the old saints used to sing that song, I got a mind to live right. Got a mind to walk right. I got a mind to talk right. I even got a mind to hear right. You know? Before I got saved, I would hear the wrong thing. My ears would be open to a bunch of gospel, about a bunch of resentment. Come on, being critical people mumbling. I don't like to hear that anymore. I got my soul. Come on, somebody. I got the Spirit of God, God's very nature in us. Come on. That's what he's talking about. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. What more the scripture looked forward to this time when God would accept the Gentile. See, at first God wouldn't accept nobody but the Israelites. That was the Jews. But now, thanks be to God, like I said, all race of people can come. Jesus said, if you come, I ain't going to no wise catch you. I'm not going to no wise resent you. I'm going to receive you. Jesus made it possible. I don't care what you is. I don't care what you done did. God still loves you. Come on, somebody. He created you. You were made in his likeness, his image. Don't let what other people think about you. It's what God, and I'm telling you, that's one of them things that you have to really overcome the public opinion. Because if you sit around and listen and let people dictate to you about who you are, you will not enjoy this abundant life that Jesus paid for. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm talking about Abraham. It's a God promise. Wait a minute. It's a what more? This I'm in 8 verse in Galatians the 8. I'm in Galatians the 3rd chapter in the 8 verse from the Living Translation. It's a what more? The scripture looked forward to this time when God would accept the Gentiles too, and on the base of their faith, believing in His Son Jesus, believing in what Jesus came to do and what Jesus accomplished. God promised this good news to Abraham long ago when he said, all nations will be blessed through you. And so it is. So it is. That means it done came to pass. Like I stated, no Abraham done lived to see it. But Abraham trusts that God would do it. Remember, we read how Sarah trusted that God was faithful who promised. The Bible said Abraham was fully persuaded. Listen, let me tell you something, my brother and sister. In this hour and time, you have to be fully persuaded in what God say about you. You have to be fully persuaded in what Jesus did. You have to be. And can't nobody do that but you. You know, well, how do I come fully persuaded? Read his word. Listen at his word. Meditating on the word of God. Speaking that word to you. Applying that word to yourself. You have to get fully persuaded. Come on, somebody. You have to get fully persuaded. If you're not fully persuaded, listen, you're going to be open up for doubt, unbelief, insecurity, double-mindedness. Come on, somebody. You're going to be letting the devil talk to you like he did God say it. Come on now. God promised this good news to Abraham that all nations will be blessed through you. And so it is. All who put their faith in Christ share the same blessing Abraham received because of his faith. But those who depend on the law to make them right with God are under his curse. For the scriptures say, cursed is everyone who does not observe and obey these commandments that are written in God's book of the law. It's a curse. If you don't believe, if you didn't keep all the Moses of the law, you would consider a curse. You had to keep all of them. Well, God knows from the beginning. There too, again, that's another message. But you need to know up under the old covenant, when God gave the Moses of the law, he gave it to show man that he needed a savior. We needed a savior. We couldn't do it if he told us because their heart wasn't right. They had a sinful nature. That's why they kept messing up. They kept on disobeying God. Come on now. But that's one of the reasons we got a better covenant. In this new covenant, I don't have a sin nature. Come on, somebody. In this new covenant, God ain't gave me the spirit of fear. He gave me a sound mind. Come on, somebody. God have not given us a spirit of fear, but love. What love? Agape love. I can love the unlovable. You do it by faith. You don't do it because you want to. A lot of time I forgive, not so much because I want to. A lot of time I go, not so much because I want to, but because I love God, because I want to please him. That's faith. That's the way faith operates. Okay? Hallelujah. All who put their faith in Christ share the same blessing Abraham received because of his faith. But those who depend on the law to make them right, they can't do it. Cursed is everyone who does observe and obey all these commandments that are written in God's book of the law. Consequently, it is clear that no one can ever be right with God by trying to keep the law. So the scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person have life. How different from this way of faith is the way of the law, which say if you wish to find life by obeying the law, you must obey all of its commands. But Christ has rescued us. Listen, the King James said in that 13, but Christ has redeemed us from the law. You and I have been delivered. We do not have to obey the Moses of the law anymore. Now, listen, I was looking at, now, when it come down, up under the old covenant, it was ceremonial laws, it was civil laws, and moral law. We don't have to keep this ceremonial law, but those civil laws, the moral laws, we still have to do that. God still, because it's only two commandments, to love God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength. Now, listen, God commands you to love with us. God commanded us to love. God commanded us to forgive. That's why when I hear people say, well, I can't. You forgive by faith. You don't forgive according to what that individual did to you. And sometimes I've heard some people say, you always talking about forgiveness. Let me tell you something. As long as you're on this side, it's going to be someone you're going to have to forgive. That's just it. That's just part of it. So you it's a life of forgiveness. But God command us to love. And because through Jesus, death, burial, and risen, God removed, as I said, the hostile between the races, the Jews and the Gentiles, because the Jews could not stand the Gentiles. that once you get born again, once the love of God come in your heart, you can love all race, all color of people. Do you hear me? You don't have to walk around with bitterness, but you don't know what they did to me. Well, I don't think they did anything worse to you than what we did to God. I mean, how can? I used to couldn't understand this. How people can go around and say they don't love God, or they don't want to hear anything about God, when God been so loving. Only someone that their spiritual eyes have not been opened. No wonder the Bible said we all of them fall short of the glory. Ain't none of us have ever lived it up to God's standards. But God keep on loving us. He keep on forgiving us. And listen, my brother, my sister, God waiting on you. You ain't waiting on God. Whoever done mistreat you, you can forgive them by faith. Listen, by faith. That's what it is. It's by faith, and not how I feel or what I want to do, but I love God. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And like I said, we come at this part of the covenant. This is what the Bible tells us in Hebrew. God gave us a better covenant with better promise. God took out all, God removed that old stony heart and gave us a heart of flesh. God put his love in us. God put the Holy Spirit in us. We were able to receive the Holy Spirit, the power, the ability to do it. Come on, somebody. You can't. You never will, Ken. But by faith, you can do it when we sit and depend on the promise of God. But he tells us, he said, because where it is clear that no one could ever be right with God by trying to keep the law. For the scriptures say it is through faith that a righteous person have life. That word righteous means put in right standing with God. Righteousness means right standing with God. When we repent and receive Jesus our Lord and Savior, it put us in right standing. Man was out of right standing with God when he was a sinner. And sometimes not, listen at me, if you start going out here sinning and practicing sin, you get out of line with God. But once you repent, it puts you back in right standing with God. Okay? It is through faith that a righteous person have life. How different from this way of life is the way of the law. Which say if you wish to find life, by obeying the law, you must obey all of its commandments. But Christ have rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. For it is written in the scripture, cursed is everyone who hung on the tree. Through the work of Christ, you hear me, through the work of Christ, Jesus, God have blessed the Gentile, that's you and I, with the same blessing he promised to Abraham. And one of the blessings, remember he told Abraham, I bless those that bless you, I curse those that curse you. I hear people say, so-and-so did this to me. Listen, let me tell you something. Don't stop paying attention and focus on what so-and-so said or did. Focus on what God's words say about you. Meditate on what God says. As long as you and I live on this earth, especially if you're a believer, somebody gonna talk about you. You're gonna be the talk of the party. Somebody gonna find, but you have to even pray. God just help me to overcome the public opinion about me. You may have to pray that sometimes. I do sometimes. God help me to overcome the public opinion. God help me to stay focused on what you say about me, God. Help me, Father. Come on, somebody, because if you start thinking about what people think and what people say, you ain't going to enjoy that abundant life. You're not going to have joy. It said, through the work of Christ Jesus, God have blessed the Gentiles with the same blessing he promised to Abraham. And we Christians receive the promise, Holy Spirit, through faith. See, everything is by faith. Faith. And I said this, I know I'm a little repetitive, but faith don't have anything to do with how you feel. Faith is all based upon what God say about you. Do you believe it? Do you trust it? Are you willing to obey what he say about you? That's what faith is all about. It's a dear brothers and sisters, I'm at the 15th verse in Galatians the 3rd chapter. Dear brothers and sisters, hear an example from everyday life. Just as no one can set aside a mere invocation, invocable, reversible agreement. So it is in this case. God gave the promise to Abraham and his child. And notice that it doesn't say that the promise was to Abraham's children, as it is meant, many descendants. But the promise was to his child, and that, of course, means Christ. And you know, it's amazing the Bible tells us that Jesus was slain before the foundation of the world. You know, God already knows that what Adam and Eve were going to do. He already know. But you know, that just like God, as you get acquainted with it, he always make a way for our escape. The Bible said God would not allow us to be tempted above that we able to bear. But God is faithful with the temptation. He'll make a way for escape. I don't forget this minister, John Cleveland, I believe he used to say, this too shall pass. Whatever you're dealing with now, if you stop focusing on it and focus on God, begin to praise God and give thanks to him, that thing will live. Your situation might not immediately change, but guess what? It'll strengthen you. It'll help you to get your mind off of it. I learned that. When things really just go on contrary, I learned to just keep praising it. Father, I just want to thank you for your goodness. I want to thank you, Lord, not only for just waking me up, but you allow me to breathe. God, you allow me to put one foot before the other one. God, I thank you because, you know, a couple months or maybe a week ago, so I experienced some things. But God, you saw me through. God, you made a way. Oh, God, I just want to thank you. And I thank you. I don't understand why this happened, if we're going. But, God, I know you at work at it right now. You causing that thing to work together for my good. And, Father, I want to thank you. Father, help me not to walk in bitterness. Father, I'm going to forgive. I'm going to be forgiven even as you, God, for Christ's sake, forgave me. Listen, you have to open your mouth and begin to talk. And I find out when you begin to open your mouth and confess the word of God, your emotion will shift, the atmosphere will shift. That heaviness will move. Yes. These are dear brothers, sisters, here's an example from everyday life. Oh, I'm in this. I get excited. Come on, prophet. It said, and notice that it doesn't say the promise was his children after it meant many descendants, but the promise was to his child, and that, of course, means Christ. This is what I am trying to say. The agreement God made with Abraham could not be canceled 430 years later when God gave the law to Moses. God would be breaking his promise, for if the inheritance could be received only by keeping the law, then it would not be the result of accepting God's promise. But God gave it to Abraham as a promise. Where then, why was the law given? It was given to show people how gifted they are. But this system of law was to last on until the coming of the child to whom God promised would make. I guess I said, I don't want to hear that. I want you to preach to me. I want you to see this word too. And God wants you to put your eyes. I'm telling you, you have to really put your eyes on what God say or what is written about you and your situation. Why? Because the enemy going to come and try to get you to doubt it. And you can do like Jesus did in Matthew the 4th when they have, it's written right here. Go to Galatians. Go to Hebrews. Here it is right here. This is what God said. And God is faithful promise. But you if you don't know what the word said, well, you can't put him in remembrance of his word. Come on now. And I'm telling you that one of the quicker ways that we can overcome is when we experience an adversity, false accusation, persecute, when we open our mouth and begin to say what God's word say. Because I'm telling you, whatever situation you're dealing with right now, if you're a born-again believer, if you've been meditating on the word and you are doing the word, let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit don't borrow the verse to you. But you have to choose whether you're going to be a doer or not. Let me go on because it's 15:10. He said, for if the inheritance could be received only by keeping the law, then it would not be the result of accepting God's promise. But God gave it to Abraham as a promise. Where then, why was the law given? It was given to show people how gifted they are. But this system of law was to last only until the coming of the child to whom God's promise was made. And there's this further difference. God gave his law to angels to give to Moses, who was the mediator between God and the people. Now, a mediator is needed if two people enter into agreement. But God acted on his own when he made his promise to Abraham. Where then there is a conflict between God law and God promise. Now, if you go back, I think it's in Genesis 15, if I'm not making a mistake, when God broke that covenant with Abraham. Abraham went to sleep. Both of them supposed to walk through it. But the animals, after they sleep, only one person walked through it. Abraham was there. So God walked through it. That means that God was going to be there for both of them. God was going to be there for Abraham in spite of. Well, let me tell you something. Jesus, covenant, covenant in the fourth gospel, you see the covenant. The new covenant is talking to you. Jesus said, I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you. I sit closer than a brother. You go in the epistle. It tells you, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You find out the Bible says, what caused us to overcome? It's our faith. Be of good cheer. I don't overcome the world. See, it's promise of covenant. These coming from your covenant relationship with God. Amen? He said, absolutely not. If the law could have given us new life, we could have been made right with God by obeying it. But the scripture had declared that we are all prisoners of sin. You see, it's single, not plural. So the only way to receive God's promise is to believe in Jesus Christ. Well, how do I believe in? You believe that he's the Son of God first. You believe that he came and he died. And it was he died for my sin. He died for your sin. You have to believe that those scribes that he took on his back and the blood that came from them scribes heal you. Come on, somebody. You got to believe he's for principality. Come on. You got to believe he done gave you the authority over the power of the enemy. You have to believe that. That's how you believe on this son. Not just on, well, yeah, he the son of God. No, you got more than that to believe. You got more than that to trust. Okay? Until faith in Christ was shown to us as a way of becoming right with God, we were guarded by the law. We was kept in protected custody, so to speak, until we could put our faith in the coming Savior. Let me put it another way. The law was our God and teacher to lead us until Christ came. So now through faith in Christ, we are made right with God. But now that faith in Christ have come, we no longer need the law as our God. So you are all children of God. Listen, so you, he didn't say a certain, he said, so you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And all who have been united with Christ in baptism have made like him. There is no longer Jew, a Gentile, slave, a free, male, a female. For you are all Christian. You are one in Christ Jesus. And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heir, and now all the promise God gave to him belongs to you. Now, this is the word of God. He's talking about you and I. Come on, somebody. Like I said, we no longer have to let hostility. Like I said, it was hostile between the Jews and the Gentiles. Then slave or free. Remember Philemon. He was a runaway slave, but he got saved. And Apostle Paul said, now you go back to your master and you submit to him. Remember, female was not highly recognized. Or better yet, they weren't highly honored. You go in the four Gospels, you see Jesus was always honoring female. He talked more about female through the Gospel than he did the males. The males was always kicking against the female, putting them down. Like you hear people now, God ain't never called a woman to preach. Well, what this say? When it comes down to being God delegate, but see, if in the old covenant, no, you didn't see them highly honor female. They were treated like nobody. They were treated like property, some kind of a property or something. Like an animal was treated better than a female. When Jesus healed a woman, you know, that Satan had bound, it was on Sabbath day. And they were also Pharisees and old Jews, they would say Jesus about it. Why you did this? He said, which one of you got an ox? And if that ox was in the ditch on Sabbath day, would you not go and get him out? And seeing this woman that Satan bound all these years, if I'm not making a mistake, with 18 years, if I'm not making a mistake, he said, ought not she be loose? Remember the woman that caught in adultery. Remember they come, but they didn't bring the man, did they? If you always seen, they were always being little feet. And he said, right here, since Jesus, that's been done away with. God honor all of us now. But you got some people, they still living in the law of Moses. They still put the male above the female. Y'all, that's not God. God don't work that way no more. We're not under the law. We're in a better covenant. Everybody is received. Regardless, I keep saying this, I'm being repetitious. Regardless of the color of your skin, regardless of what you done did, if you said, Father, I believe that Jesus the Son of God. I believe he came and he died. I believe when he hung on that cross, that was me. He carried all my sin. He paid the price for me. Somebody out there dealing with some illness in your body. You got to believe that by his stripes you heal. See, for one thing, don't ask God to heal you. According to Isaiah 53:5, I think it's according to Matthew 8:17. It's in 1 Peter 2:20. You already healed. You don't ask God to heal you. You command healing to be. Bind up that infirmity. Bind up that pain. And command healing to be. You don't ask him to heal you. When I had that problem with my back, that this in my back, and I never get, I woke up one night, the pain woke me up. And I just began to, in tears. God, why won't you heal me? He said, I can't do what I done already did. Because my faith was based on, when the pain leaves, that's when I'm healed. And that's what's wrong with some of you now. You've been operating like that for years, and you still struggling with the things of God. You still struggling. You're not experiencing that abundant life because you're not operating by faith. You're going by how you feel. Why won't God heal me? Because your faith is in when the pain gone, I'm here. That's not the way God do it. First, you got to believe, and then you will see the manifestation. Come on, somebody. That's why some people can't sow. Some people don't get tithes and offerings. Some people can't sow. Well, why should I give that money to the preacher or give that money to the church, and I can barely pay my bill? God ain't asking you what you don't have. He asks you some of what you already have. Come on, somebody. That's just the way faith works. That's why it's so important. You need to know, what is faith? How do faith work? Since I can't please him without faith. And I'm telling you, Abraham came in covenant with God. And because we are Abraham's seed, we came in a better covenant. Come on, somebody. Abraham had a relationship with God. That's why I want you to see this here. I'm going to read that 28th verse again. I'm coming in my closing. He said, there's no longer Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, male or female, for you are all Christians. You are one in Christ Jesus. And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and now all the promise God gave him belong to you. What promise did he give you? I bless you. I cause you to be prosperous. Increase is yours. Prosperity belongs to you. Well, Prophet Miller, I'm not experiencing. Well, the shortest not in God. It's in you. You got to learn how to operate in faith. Once you find out what faith is, you have to learn how to operate. And I'm telling you, the things of God just don't automatically happen because God promised it to you. Believe me, I had to learn that the hard way. And it ain't going to happen because if you think you can cry long enough, no, that ain't going to cause it to happen either. Come on, somebody. I'm telling you the truth. That don't cause the promise of God to be fulfilled or manifest in your life. It's your faith. It's your confidence. Finding out what he said and stand on it. Come on, walk around here with bitterness and resentment in your heart. That's not going to help you. Run your blood pressure up. It can make you sick. Come on now, because you ain't wrestling with flesh and blood. Listen, it's a spiritual world and it's a natural world. But before we got born again, we lived it in the natural world. That's why we understand the natural. We see it. But when it comes down to the spirit, a lot of times some people don't even know the spirit world exists. The only way they think about the spirit world when you die. No, 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 no. The spirit world is here. We find invisible beings that you cannot see in the neck, but you can sense the pressure. You can see the evil of it. You can see it. I'm telling you, that's that spiritual world. Like I said, in the beginning, we've been talking about Abraham covenant. I've been talking about how Abraham was in covenant with God. And that, and I tell you, it blessed you. It blessed me. Abraham came in covenant, and we have a better covenant. The Bible says a better covenant with better promise. Thanks be to God. God live on the inside of me. That's in Matthew 8:6. It's a, not Matthew, I'm sorry. In Hebrews 8:6, it tells us that. It says, but now have he obtained a more excellent ministry. By how much? Also, is it the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promise. I got a better covenant with God. He's on the inside of me. The great I am live on the inside of me. He's greater than what's coming against me. Prophet, you just don't know what I'm going through with. Listen, I promise you, I might not know what you're going through with, but according to the word, you are already covered. God, if you are born again believer, God got your back. But you need to watch what's coming out of your mouth. You probably speaking what you see, what's contrary to what God says. Instead of saying what God's word said, God, you said that you ain't gave me the spirit of fear, so guess what? I think I don't have the spirit of fear, so when I sense fear, I resist it, I rebuke it, and I plead the blood of Jesus against you. Mind, body, and thought. God, you said you have given me a sound mind. I thank you for my sound mind. I'm just telling you how to apply. If your mind being all tormented and with all confused, God, you ain't gave me no confused mind, so I resist. I rebuke these thoughts of confusion. I plead the blood of Jesus against these mind-binding thoughts. So you have not given this to me, but you gave me a spirit of love, power, a sound mind. I can control my thoughts. See, that's the way you got to learn to talk. You got to learn. I had to learn it, and we all have to. You have to learn how to talk when you come in the kingdom of God. When we was in the kingdom of God and we talk and act crazy, we call it as we see it. We call it like we've seen it and the way we say it. Well, you can't do that when you come in the kingdom because you're in a new and a better covenant. You're in a victorious covenant. You're in a covenant that calls you to conquer, to be victorious, not the victim, not pull me, owe me. I'm in a better covenant. I don't have to walk around here with lack. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank you again for your word. I give you praise. Thank you for bringing more enlightenment, more understanding about this better covenant. Thank you for revealing to me and through your word in Galatians that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Thank you, Father, that we have the same blessing that Abraham had. You done gave us faith that we can believe and trust you and obey you like Abraham did. Father, we thank you, we praise you, we bless you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, this was Apostle Willie Ann Miller. I thank you for tuning in. We're going to continue. We're going to be continuing with this in Hebrews 11 chapter. We're going to continue on Monday. And listen, I pray that you will have a prosperous and a victorious weekend.